This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:07, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you today?
Good. And I listened to the weather a while ago, and I think finally I'm going to be able to take my jacket out of the car today. I don't believe I'm going to need it.
Yeah, no, 100-degree temperatures from, I guess, here on out.
We got smacked through again. Thursday night.
See, we got by winter. We didn't get smacked winter, but we're getting smacked now.
Yeah, and so. Thursday night, I think it's supposed to break, and then Friday, high of maybe 97, 98, yeah. You know.
I was a little worried about you. I came in this morning, and IDOT was already working on Route 16 in front of the studio, so I had to take a country road around to get to work, and I'm like, I was worried about, oh man, maybe Uncle Ralph might not get
well,
here.
Well, you know, it sunk into my rock head about the time I came to where I had to stop over here, and I could very easily have went around Neymar Trail and come out over here and missed all that.
Oh, absolutely, and we have a good guest here today. Litchfield School Superintendent Chad Allison is our guest. Chad, welcome to the program. We're going to talk about the Litchfield School District and all the fun that goes along being a superintendent and all the headaches that go along with it. We'll have that conversation right after this.
At Plummer Funeral Home, after many years of service, we remain committed to providing the most caring, professional funeral services in this area. It is our mission to provide each family with the very best in quality care during what is often the most difficult of circumstances. At Plummer Funeral Home, we have never taken for granted the confidence families place in us, and we promise to always go the extra mile to earn your trust. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
Will be going a little bit faster, and they can crunch them up a little more.
Absolutely. We're kind of talking while we were on a break here about the road construction here. They're laying the second layer, I guess. That's how it works. You have a primary foundation layer, and then you have a secondary layer, and they're definitely laying the second layer now. So I think they're ahead of schedule.
I think they are, too. They put that first layer down, it seemed to me, extremely
quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chad Allison is our guest. Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus, are your hosts today. You're listening to the Wednesday Talk Show. Chad, welcome, my friend. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you, Tobin.
And we are here to talk about the Litchfield School District. First off, let's go into the good parts of the district. How are things going right now?
You know, things are, for our district, I think we're doing as well as we could hope at this point. We have a lot of good things that continue to go on. We have good teachers. We have good students. We continue to try to make progress in a lot of areas academically. Our facilities are second to none. Which, as we look now financially, the state and everything else is the foresight of our board and administration. Quite a few years ago, has put us in a situation that fortunately is going to help us hopefully in the next few years with that area.
One thing I have to applaud you on, and we had a press event where in Marshall Kassebaum's old room, and I remember back a little bit back in grade school how much technology has changed the game. There's many computer labs there. I mean, everything is just the age of the green blackboard gone.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons.
But, and I think that's an asset for Litchfield, because I know, knowing you and that, you've always been on the cusp of the technology trend. In fact, the board, their minutes, their big pamphlets are now on a Kindle or, I guess, an iPad or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that way it's all, I mean, you're always ahead of the game on that technology aspect.
Well, we try to be. I mean, in the of course, the challenge with that is a cost factor, and for us, you know, we just getting it deployed. I mean, the kids, you know, as you guys know, they're different. I've got a 3-year-old son, a 6-year-old son. They pick up my iPhone, pick up an iPad, and it is absolutely nothing for them. They can tell you where they're going, what they're doing, and we know in education, it's not unique to Litchfield, that if we're going to try to harness that enthusiasm and that, you know, just the way that they want to learn now, we have to try to put it in their hands educationally. The challenge is paying for it.
The old joke nowadays is if you're having trouble with your iPad or your cell phone or anything, if you've got a 4 or 5 year old son or daughter, give it to them. They'll straighten it out for you.
Yeah, it really is. I have a mother-in-law who, you know, got some new technology, and she gave it to my 6-year-old to say, okay, can you put this stuff in folders and do those things? And yeah, it was a 2-minute fix. I mean, it really is amazing. And I think it's one of those things to me with technology, at the time, seemed like a relatively small change that's made a huge difference for kids, is that when we are able to eliminate that mouse, that the hand-eye coordination, just, you know, with fine motor skills, I think was more difficult using that and clicking. But boy, when you take that away and the kids can point and touch and, mm-hmm. and move things, it really has made it a wonderful tool.
But with technology, though, doesn't it cause another avenue of problems? I mean, you've got students, they've got social media, they can... And once they can post something on there, you've got problem. That's a whole different can of worms there.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, there's no doubt. But, you know, all of us have gone through schools. We've grown up mm-hmm. as kids. And the reality is, you know, we hear bullying and what a terrible problem it is. And it certainly is a challenge. But Uncle Ralph, I'm you know, to some extent, some of that stuff happened back in when you were in school.
Yeah.
It was there. It looks different now. Our reaction to it is different. And our kids have to, you know, we still need to stay those same principles and morals, values that we were trying to teach when Uncle Ralph was in elementary school.
Yeah.
They're the same things we're trying to teach now. It's just the way our kids are using them.
And kids today are taught that differences they may have with a fellow student or other, call it bullying or whatever, is totally different. When I was in school, and even years after I was in school, if you had trouble with a fellow student, it was taken over to the gym and give a couple pair of boxing gloves and you settled it and it was over with. And that's not the way we do things anymore. And it's good we don't do things that way, because that was basically, could be brutality. But, we have to reach a solution to these things as they come along. And I think such people such as yourself have done a very good job at this.
I remember a time when I was going through the school system. I did something wrong. I got sent to the principal's office. Depending on what it was, he brought out a big wooden paddle. We got paddled there with a note saying Tobin got paddled at school. And guess what?
Got one.
I probably got one at home. You can't even do that now.
No,
I mean, the game has changed. And with the fun with school with districts now, and I've talked with you quite frequently and David Powell quite frequently, I know the number of the game is funding, and what you guys are going through, you guys aren't crying for help. This is a legit problem with the funding issue.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we're looking at, we all know that we have different kids today. We have a different, you know, a global market. I mean, if you look, as we were talking a little bit about our farmers, you know, they're looking at crop sales and things that are, you know, globally, where are those crops going to end up and how are we selling it? And that's the way all of our businesses are working now. It's not Montgomery or Macoupin County we're talking about. It's we have to be competitive globally. And that's the challenge, is preparing our kids for that. And we know we need more technology to do that. We need to be able to get them to be able to use all of those, you know, tools and skills that they have. Well, that cost us more money. It's mm-hmm. none of it's costing less. And then at the same time, we are getting less because, you know, we know what's going on financially. You know, the state of Illinois is certainly one of the leaders, I guess, in the country in a negative way in that regard. And it's really impacting us. We know we need to do more, but it's really hard to continue to do more and implement new things when, you know, you're losing, for us this year, you know, really $500,000 from the state. That, you know, that's a considerable amount of money for us. How do you do more when you're losing $500,000? Well, for us, it's doing with less staff and less equipment and less budgets, and it's a real challenge. It's right now, it's certainly a point where we scratch our heads a whole lot.
I think Litchfield and Hillsboro, and I think Panhandle is included in this, the technology that you guys are doing with the course with Lincoln Land Community College, where it's web-enabled, you use the Skype, I believe it's Skype technology or something along those lines, to teach the course. I think that is an experiment that needs to be expanded further, and has that worked for the Litchfield School District and the kids?
You know, it has worked. It's really our CNA program that we do work collaboratively with those districts. Like anything else, we have some bugs, and for the most part, it's worked very well. It's a version different, a little different than Skype that we use, a little more commercial. The problem that all of us have is that when you're trying to send video over a line, whether it's a T1 line or whatever, the appropriate name is for some of those lines coming in, that takes a lot of the room within that line. And we had some issues, frames slowing down and not able to always see exactly in real time as we should. There are some Illinois Broadband Initiative, which, that we've got a couple programs, as the state of Illinois it seems to like to do. We had the DiMuzio Initiative, which was going to be kind of a local broadband initiative, and I don't know where it is. But Illinois Broadband, which is a different offshoot, Litchfield High School, the line comes down 55. They just got it under the railroad track behind the high school that it connects to the high school, which really will open up for us. I believe the hospitals will have access to it. It's more of the public sector access, but that would certainly help us with some of the bigger things we're trying to do. But again, you got to have that access. Things are different the way we're trying to send out that data now.
And when we talk about all this technology and better ways for the student to get an education, we also have to realize that teacher in the classroom has to be better educated to keep up with all this technology. And it's really a challenge. I know in talking to teachers, they say it's really a challenge to keep up with everything that they need to give this student every advantage he can get.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about it. Our teachers are faced with, more changes. I mean, there was a day when they, were able to enter their classroom, kind of close the door and take care of that group of kids like they wanted to and what they used their expertise to do. And now we're dictated so much by state requirements and federal requirements. And you throw in the technology and all of the different things that we're working on. Our teachers spend a lot of time working and trying to prepare and trying to stay a step ahead of the kids. You're absolutely right with that.
The system that's in place, where Litchfield, Hillsboro, Panhandle are all working on that internet classroom setting, will that save districts from consolidating? If you can work together and call David and say, hey, why don't we get together? We'll do a math course, internet-based, or however you want to call it. Will that save a lot of problems in the long run?
The potential is certainly there. And it's one of those, like everything else, as we're looking at what are some new options, would it save or prevent, some big time changes? I don't know. It's going to be a challenge because, unfortunately, at this point, and when we've actually kind of had a preliminary say, okay, we need to look at schedules, for example, because, mm-hmm. The schedule at Litchfield High School is different than the schedule at Hillsboro High School. And
right.
So to offer that class at the same time to be shared, we're going to have to make our schedules a little more comparable because our kids are then one of them is going to end up going to a different class the next period. So there are a lot of little pieces that fit into something like that that make it work. Now, what that equipment would also do is not only help us potentially locally, but it could open up the door for some of our students to take a distance learning class, maybe through the University of Illinois. And we've kind of done some of those things for, kids that want to take a specific class that we don't offer. We had some students this year that took some computer networking classes that we don't offer. Did that via online. So some of that, we're looking at those options and, trying to, again, if we can accommodate what our students need, that's our goal, is prepare them for where they think they're going at that next level. There's just a lot to some of those.
The major hurdle is, and as simple as this sounds, outside looking in, Purple Panther toppers have to be put to the side to make this work.
Yeah.
And that's easier said than done.
Yeah, I think from the district's perspective, there's a point where, the problems in Litchfield were different than the problems in Hillsboro and Carlinville. Mm-hmm. But the reality is right now, we're all fighting the same challenges. We all know that, it's no longer, Litchfield and Hillsboro from the district's perspective. It's, how are we dealing with these state requirements that they're setting on us, the federal requirements, and how is that working? How does that work in Hillsboro? We meet a lot. I mean, the superintendents get together to really talk about, okay, we're looking at this mandate. How are you guys handling it? Because if we can avoid, we just have so many of those things. If we can avoid recreating the wheel, we have to do it. We don't have the staffs anymore. We're trying to be as efficient as we can. So we borrow, steal, and do the best we can to try to help each other out because, we know we have to.
And then the flip side of this is we will always have that group of students in our schools that perhaps doesn't fit into any of this, and you need vocational skills to teach them so they can go out and get a job as a carpenter, electrician, a plumber, or whatever. So we can't leave them out. We have to work with them also.
No, and we do. And our board president, Tim Rentz, one of the things that he, anytime we have this discussion about where we need to go with our kids, and we start talking vocational, the first thing he likes to say is, you know, those are the jobs you can't export. When it comes to getting your car fixed, you're not sending it to India. You're not sending it overseas. It's someone in Litchfield that's working on your car, and we do need to prepare those kids. Same thing with, you know, all the hail damage and the roof work I see in my neighborhood, getting all those things done. You know, those are local companies that are employing people that our kids need to be there. And that one, actually, we had kind of the public forum in February that we kind of talked about as a group. What do we need to do? And vocational was a huge one for us. And if you just look at a map geographically in the area of vocational, you know, to the east of us, you have Ocala Valley Vocational Career Center in Vandalia. You go north, you see the Capital Career Center. South, you get into kind of the Collinsville, Edwardsville, which address their own. We're really in a pocket, and Hillsborough does use Ocala Valley, which Litchfield, the CNA program is the only one we really use via Hillsborough. But for, you know, the Litchfield, Carlinville, Gillespie, Staunton, Mount Olive, we really are doing our own things at the building level, and we do offer quite a few courses at Litchfield High School, but they're kind of what is considered to be intro to level. We don't get to the training point where, other than building trades, where our kids really get some skills that, you know, could they leave us to start a job immediately. Well, we don't have that staff right now, so we're really looking at doing that, and actually had a preliminary meeting set. We're going to have to change the date to talk to some of the economic development groups and some of the businesses in both Montgomery and Macoupin County to say, okay, what are the needs of the people you're looking to hire? Because that's what we need to make sure, that those students, if that's who your applicants are have the skills, and if they don't, what can we do to improve that? Because as they'll tell you from the economic development side, companies start looking at Montgomery County. They want to know that there's a workforce that when they show up on site, they're going to be able to get people to start work and going to have the skills. And that's what we need to make sure, that we have that prepared for them. So, yeah, vocational is huge.
Yeah, because we're sitting in an area here, and you mentioned the towns surrounding us. We're sitting in an area where you're never going to see humongous factories come in that hire hundreds of people. So you got to put 20 people here and 20 people there and go this route and try to get everybody a decent job.
Yep, absolutely. And we know that as we've watched the populations of the counties right now, you know, it's we're not going in the direction any of us would like us to see. And you know, a lot of that is if there aren't jobs. You know, I was in the meeting I had the other day, said I would have been one of those. I would have loved to have gone to my hometown to be a teacher and maybe go on. But the reality at the time was there wasn't a job for me there. Mm-hmm. So instead of staying in Ohio and in Bryan, Ohio, I ended up in Highland, Illinois, and am here ever since. So, I mean, it's, if the jobs aren't there, you know, we can do whatever we want, but we've got to have that to keep those people.
That's a key for a school district. You got to prepare the kids for that, but not to switch government entities. It's the city council to make the town attractive to get those jobs to keep those kids there.
Yeah, as we've talked about, I mean, we all work together. We've got to work on that. We've got to have a workforce, and that's the educational component. And not only our graduates, but also looking at what can we do for those individuals who are postgraduates who are, you know, our unemployment numbers right now, who, you know, they will tell us are so high in Montgomery County. You know, how do we help those people get some of those skills through evening training or whatever it is, so that, you know, we can get those individuals so that they are skilled and ready to go too. So, I mean, we all have to work together and do what we can if this area is going to survive and thrive.
Absolutely. Enrollment at the district, is it up, or are we – you know, we basically on par?
We started last fall up considerably, about, I think it was 80 students, which is a huge increase for us. But as the year progressed, you know, then we start seeing the move outs and that occurred. And we ended up above slightly where we had been, which is a positive. But we would certainly have liked to have maintained where we were, because those higher numbers, obviously to us, equate to money from the state. And as the general state aid formula, which is where our biggest pot of money comes from, that formula, as it works, it's based on average daily attendance. The good news for the Litchfield District, I suppose, is because we had such a good fall, we're losing minimally with the state. If the funding would have occurred as it was is supposed to, we would have had an increase in general state aid of about $500,000, which is what we were hoping on. Well, they prorated it. You know, the state likes to do this. We're going to keep the level at the same, $6,119 per student, which none of us get, but they keep it. They can say it's there. But then when they pass the actual funding bill, then they dropped it down. They only paid us 89% of $6,190. So in Litchfield, we end up losing minimally, whereas it should have been a positive gain for us on a normal year. So, you know, that's an unfortunate thing.
I'm glad to hear, though, that the school districts, especially here in Montgomery County, are at least working together and trying to resolve this philosophy. And I know, covering different boards of education, I know that you've got districts looking for dance partners. I hope it doesn't come to that. I guess the word is wait and see. Because you don't know.
No, we don't know where it holds. And I will tell you that we have, in my opinion, you know, excellent administrators, boards of education that are looking out for all of their communities. We all want the best for the kids in Litchfield, Hillsborough, Panhandle, whatever you're talking. You know, and the point as we're looking at that is, what are we going to do what's best for those kids? And I think the only way all of us are going to survive is that we're going to have to do it differently. I mean, the money is just not there. We're going to have to be leaner and, you know, more efficient than we probably thought we could ever be. And we're starting to see that now, because if not, you know, we're going to see more and more districts that just simply can't survive. I don't financially, if the money's not there, you know, we're not a business where we can increase our, you know, what we're charging. We just simply have to work with the money that we have, and that makes it very difficult.
You can only get so lean and so mean, and you know, and that's just the way it is. And but it's good to see that people are interested in their schools. For instance, Litchfield, the alumni have come together with a lot of money, and Hillsborough and the surrounding areas do the same thing. And this is good, because this gets people working together, and that's the key.
I will second that, because when your board cut all the sports programs, that sports association came right up the bat and said, here's a check. We want it we need it reinstated. And you can't say anything more about that. No, I mean, what a tremendous.
No, absolutely not. It was almost shocking to me, to the board, I think. You know, we made those announcements in April that those sports were going to be cut. And we're talking, you know, give just for one example, the cost of what we had, you know, basically said to run our boys soccer program was $11,000. By the next board meeting, May, the soccer parents, that group were together, and they had the entire amount. I'm not sure how you can raise that much money that quickly. I mean, it is purely just, you know, dedicated community, dedicated parents that again are looking out for, you know, what's best for the kids. And we know, you know, as a board, as an administration, you know, there's not one of those cuts that we, you know, wanted to make. That's right. Not it. We want our kids to have that, but when the choice for us comes down to running a soccer program or maintaining, you know, you take two or three of those programs and it's saving a teacher, you know, our first obligation is the classroom, and we've got to provide that. And we kind of start looking at maybe, you know, coming back to the days of what our extracurriculars used to look like. When we just couldn't offer that many. Well, there was a reason. There wasn't one. Soccer probably wasn't as big back in that day, but
it's grown.
It's very big now. But when you're looking at some of the cost of some of these things, we just simply, like anyone's budget at home, you can't do everything if you don't have the money.
Chad, it's always a pleasure having you here. Believe it or not, I wish this program could have gotten extended an hour here, because I think we could have gone on the full hour.
Well,
here.
Once upon a time it was an hour.
Oh, I know.
You know,
and we cuts occur that. Everywhere.
Yeah, cuts occur everywhere.
Yeah,
but Chad, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking some time out and doing the show here with us, and hopefully we can have you back again next summer. I know this time period is kind of easier before the kids get back into school. And you got all that going on. Yes. So, Uncle Ralph, next week we have Mickey Robinson in. So be on your best behavior next week.
I spent last night with Mickey, and he wore the grass out in Bunnell City Park walking around worrying about his crowd. But it was very warm, and a lot of people, you know, just stayed away. And getting back to what we've talked about here this morning, I think it makes us realize how proud we should be of our communities.